Hey, what up, guys? Welcome back to the Alan JB podcast. I'm your host, Alan JB, and I am super excited to be back with you guys again this week for another new podcast. And it is International Week here at Portland Bible College, and I am so excited to have an amazing and super great friend on. He's from Mexico, Puebla, to be more specific. But he's just got a lot of wisdom, and I'm super excited to hear for you guys to hear what he has to say and what's on his heart and like what God has just been doing in his life and even through just the campus and even just through his country in this last season. So, Titus, do you want to introduce yourself?
Of course. Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Titus Jakewith. As Alan said, I am from Mexico, the city of Puebla in Mexico. Grew up there being a pastor's kid, missionary kid. My grandparents went down there originally as missionaries. And so grew up there my whole life. And then now I'm here at PBC, which is where I met Mr. Alan. Alan, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me. This is such a great opportunity. And I'm really happy for you and this new this new project that you're working on. So I'm excited to get started.
Yeah, no, I'm so stoked. Yeah, when I was like thinking about starting a podcast, I was like, oh, man, one of the first people I got to have on is my good friend Titus. And obviously we go like way, way back, like to even just my sophomore and your freshman year, like just being in small group together. And, you know, obviously we had such fun times. And yeah, but one of the things that I really wanted to like delve into on this episode was I really wanted to discuss like the differences between how growing up in the church shapes our worldviews and versus how growing up outside the church causes some people to see the world differently. Because growing up like in the church can cause a lot of like shelteredness. And this is like just one thing I noticed with like kids who have grown up in the church. They've just been sheltered for a lot through a lot of stuff. And so as for me, like obviously I didn't grow up in the church. And so I was just exposed to like a lot of stuff at a very young age. And So I guess like one of the things that I really wanted to ask, like I'm really excited that you're here because like you obviously grew up as a PK. And so one of the things that I really was excited to like talk to you about was like just the difference in like worldviews and just how we both see things differently and both with the, like being how we were raised. And so, yeah, so I just wanted to like talk to you about that. And like just also another thing I really wanted to discuss was like just the root cause of like what can really cause like, because obviously we see it so much in culture, like pastors' kids like rebelling and revolting and like, you know, and even if they come from like loving homes. And so that's like one of the root causes of like what I want to talk to you about like on the podcast today. And just also being an international student, like the difference between that and being international, being growing up in Mexico and like growing up here in the States and just how different the cultures are.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I think both of those all those topics are really amazing. So yeah, I guess where would you want to start? Would you want to start with the PK?
So like just a little bit of your testimony and like, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. A little bit of background. So yeah, I already mentioned a little bit, but I can go a little bit more in depth. I come from a family of missionaries. So, my grandparents went down to Mexico when my dad was about 8 years old. They started a church and then now my parents are the pastors of that church. So I was born in Mexico and grew up there my whole life. My mom's actually Mexican. My American dad married a Mexican, you know, mom. So I grew up with that, like both of those cultures. And then, yeah, grew up being a pastor's kid, grew up in the church, literally. I mean, actually, one thing that my parents tell me, which I think is pretty funny, is that the day I was born, coming out of the hospital, before I went to like our house or before I went to, you know, see the family or whatever, they actually took me to the church. That was the first. That was literally the first place I went to. So the first place I went to
in
I got
the
to
pews
being born.
Before you could walk.
No, seriously, they were having like a pastor's meeting or something, and so they went to like, you know, show me to everybody. But that's just kind of even just a glimpse or, you know, maybe an idea, something to give you an idea of what it was like, just constantly being in church. Going to the kindergarten there, and then even once school started, just going with my parents afterward because they were still working there, or, you know, pastoring people or whatever, and then just events, you know, the whole thing. And then with my parents being pastors, there was also that closeness, maybe, or you're very close to ministry, so you get to see things that maybe a lot of other people don't see. you get to see the struggles that a pastor goes through, or you know, the hardships, even the tension that there can be, or you get to see a lot of things that other people who only see the pastor from, you know, the stage don't get to see. So yeah, I think that's a little bit of background as to what just the fact that I grew up as a pastor's kid. Yeah,
and I think another question I really wanted to like bring up was like, was there ever like, obviously, because we see in America, like here in the States, we see so many of like PKs like rebelling like against the church. Mm. And obviously, was that different like in Mexico, like just the way that the culture is? Like, what was that like? Did you like ever experience that?
Mm, yeah.
In Mexico?
No, yeah. I think that happens everywhere. I mean, I'm reminded of the parable of the sower that Jesus said, like, you know, the a sower went out and spread some seeds, and some of it fell on fertile ground. Some of it fell on ground that had thorns and the seeds weren't able to bear fruit. Some of it fell on the ground, etc. So I think that's almost a universal principle. It's something that even Jesus talked about, how the gospel is preached, and sometimes, you know, there isn't a fruit, or people reject it even if they've, you know, heard the gospel or been there. So I think that's the same with sadly, you know, with a lot of pastors' kids. And so, yeah, growing up in Mexico, I definitely saw that as well. You know, even probably have some friends that were pastors' kids alongside me growing up that maybe at this point aren't as committed to the church. But it's also cool to see a lot that are. There's a lot of pastors' kids that, because they're so close to, you know, what their parents are doing and the ministry, because they're so
sorry
close.
Sorry for that, guys, if you're listening to this.
It was like a plane passing or something. But a lot of pastors' kids, they go after it, and they want to go into full-time ministry, or just maybe not even full-time ministry. Maybe they want to go into business or literally whatever, but having Christ in mind. And then I also have certain friends, other friends that have been pastors' kids that maybe drifted or went out and kind of, like you said, rebelled in a sense, but they've come back as well. I have friends that have come back, and so that's always amazing to see, because God's grace extends. You know, God's grace is still there, even if growing up with the church you lost your way. God still has a, you know, he desires for you to come back. So,
and I guess my other question is, like, because obviously, like, staying on like the topic of like, you know, PKs mm-hmm. branching away from the church and stuff.
Yeah,
like, is it less? Because obviously we see it so much in the U.S., like pastors' kids turning away. Was it less common, like, in Mexico, like, with PKs kind of rebelling, like, against the church? Like, was mm-hmm. it, did it become less common, or was it just about the same as, like, here in the U.S.?
I'd say probably about the same. I don't know. Maybe in the U.S. it turned into something more public, maybe because of, I don't know, social media or things like that, or the culture, I guess. But I think it'd be pretty much the same, because I don't think it has nothing to do with the country. It has everything to do with people's hearts and whether they, you know, accept Christ. So I don't think there's a reason for like it to have been more in the U.S. I think it's, you know, a sad thing that happens everywhere, all over the world. But yeah, again, God's grace is always there.
Because yeah, I mostly press on it, or I just ask because, like, you know, obviously I've like never, I mean, I've been to Canada, but I've never like mm-hmm. been outside of the mm-hmm. country. And obviously I want to like take more of those like kind of mission trips. So it's like, I haven't really been exposed to much like what like the culture, or like, other than obviously PBC, obviously, because we have a lot of international students that like come mm-hmm. to PBC and stuff. And, yeah. You know, shout out to all of our international students and this being International Week. And so, yeah, but, so yeah, so I don't get exposed too much to like what culture is like outside of the U.S. And so that's mostly why I like bring that up, and I'm just wondering about that. And I'm sure also there's like people listening to this that may be wondering, like, that haven't been to Mexico or Australia or like different parts of the other countries where, you know, the culture might be not be the same.
Right.
So yeah, so that's why I kind of ask that particular question. But no, obviously, so it's like, too, you're a worship leader as well. Mm. So just a little bit more backstory of, like, when did you start to, like, pick up on, like, worship? Because obviously your parents are like PK or pastors, and growing up as a PK, like, was that always like instilled in you, or
Great question. Yeah. I mean, maybe first to what you said earlier about the why you asked that. That's great. I love the fact that you're desiring to know more about other cultures and even what the church is like in other countries. And I think it's great that we're doing this then, because other people maybe who haven't been able to go on a mission trip or haven't been able to experience that, they get to hear a little bit, you know, and experience at least from afar what it's like. So, you know, I acknowledge and thank you for your curiosity and desire to know more about that. And then, okay, now to your second question. Worship. Yeah. Background of worship. Yeah, so my parents aren't crazy musical. My dad, I think, played drums a little bit when he was younger, but neither of them were like worship pastors at all. They were youth pastors, and then they became the lead pastors. So it wasn't like I was introduced through that, but even though they weren't musical, they both, I think prophetically and just from God, saw music as part of our future as their kids. So probably when I was about 9-10 years old, we came up as a family here to the States for a summer, and my dad worked. He worked at a strawberry farm that's here in Oregon that I now go work at in the summers. But he did that.
Oh, love it. Always brings fresh strawberries back at the end of every at the end of every summer. It's so great.
Did you try them last time? Did I give you some?
No, I wasn't here.
Oh, okay. So I'll have to give you some this summer.
This summer.
Yeah. They're actually
We're going to
so
make
good.
It happen.
They're it's crazy. They're so like naturally sugary. It's so good. But anyway, so you know, probably when I was 9 or 10, my dad came up and worked, did that. And the reason was he wanted to buy instruments for us. And we didn't have, you know, all the money in the world to do that just from the church's salary. I mean, we, you know, we're getting a lot. So we came up for summer and he worked a lot. And then with that, we went to Guitar Center, and then we got my sister a keyboard. We got me a guitar, and then my brother drums. We were three siblings at the time who were that age. And that's how we started. So it was just an investment. My dad kind of saw that and then invested into us, not just invested, but even worked for it, and then bought us our instruments. So that was kind of how it started. And then after that, we started a music school at my church. So it was called Fontana. And it was every Saturday, we'd have like a music school. And there was a ton of kids. It actually was really cool. You know, probably at certain moments, we probably had like, I don't know, maybe even 80 kids that would come and learn everything from violin to guitar to singing to drums to bass. And so that's also where we started. So my parents helped start that school. And then it was amazing. It was for all our church. So even a lot of the people that play now for our church, especially the younger people, a lot of the people that play and lead and sing, they started out in that school. So there's a lot of fruit. But just for me and my siblings, that's kind of where we started learning. We took classes. We're trained under them. And then since then it's just kind of been going from there. God's really opened doors, and even just given me and my siblings kind of that gift, I'd say, just that blessing to keep on going in that. And so it's, you know, I started with guitar when I was probably 10 years old, and then after that started learning piano, and then started singing, and then started getting into production. So it's kind of been a journey from there, but that's
yeah,
where it started.
Shout out to Titus as well, because so as many of you guys know, I just recently relaunched a podcast. And so funny story is that, like, I had this podcast, this channel before, but like I just would record from my phone, or like I had like a pod mic, and so I didn't require much editing or anything like that for like posting stuff. But then I started working for the company, which I'll get into at a later time. But anyway, so they would re-edit and like they would like post and send it out for me. But funny story was that, like, now that I'm launching this channel on my own, I didn't have any help, and so I was like, who can I like go to? And I just have been bugging Titus so much, like, oh, can you help me with the audio? To the point where, like, a few of our friends were like, hey, like, Titus is super busy. Can you just, like, give him a break? And I'm like, guys, I know. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm learning. Like, I'm getting trained. It's a process. But, yeah, so we appreciate Titus so much, because he's been helping me out with the channel and, like, and just with audio and training me and stuff like that, and like AVL stuff. So yeah, it's been a whole week.
Yeah.
He's been burning the midnight oil.
No, of course. Thank you for the shout out. It's been super good. I'm excited for this project, so I'm willing to invest. So,
but yeah, I guess my other question that I want to ask you is staying on the topic of like PKs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because obviously you were like raised in the church, but was there ever a point where, you know, just like seeing, you know, your family like in ministry, and just was there ever a point where you were like, man, I don't know if I like want this.
Mm. Wow, that's a really good question. I think I went through moments of a lot of questions. I'm very inquisitive, like very curious. I like to know like the why behind things. And so I went through a lot of moments of like questions as to like, why do we do this? But if I'm being completely honest, I don't think I ever got to that point. I think I would probably attribute it to my parents. Like my parents did just such an amazing job. Like I can't talk about them enough. I think for a lot of pastors' kids, the reason they kind of have those thoughts or get to that point often is because maybe it was overbearing at times, or maybe their parents were distant. Like I think some pastors are even distant with their children because of ministry, or they kind of separate the two, and there's no fun in ministry, or there's kind of no bridge. But my parents always did just an amazing job of, number one, making us their priority. So,
also Titus's dad, if you're listening to this, great guy.
Yeah.
His name super is, funny.
Yeah. His name's Eric Allen. You got to meet him, right?
Yeah. I got to meet him at MFI. And yeah. So, yeah, super like humble guy, super funny, like super outgoing, like yep. Really extroverted. So love him.
Yeah. No, I love him too. My mom too. My mom, Idaliz, if you're watching this, shout out. Damoma. Love you, dad. You guys are amazing.
I don't think I don't think I've ever actually met your mom though.
Okay.
Does she, like, has she come down for MFI before? Because I don't think I've ever met her.
She usually comes up, but yeah, you probably haven't met her yet. But you know, you'll have to at some point. She's amazing. She's preached a couple times here at Mana House for their Spanish services, so you'll probably meet her at some point. But yeah, no. Anyway, so just what I was saying about my parents. I think that's one of the main reasons was just they always kept us as their priority. So they would say, like, you guys are our first church. You guys are our first mission. Like, before God gave us, you know, this ministry, he gave us you guys. You guys are our family. So if there was ever a moment where they had to choose between ministry or us, their kids, they would choose us. And that speaks so much and spoke so much to them and ministry and how it should be done. They also always made it fun. And that's one thing I'd admire about them.
Could you kind of just, like, elaborate on that on a that? Little bit? Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, so my parents were always very generational, I guess, or multi-generational. Like the way that they did ministry and pastored was always looking to the next generation. So instead of what often happens, which is kind of maybe people get caught up in tradition or the way things are done, so they have to continue to be done that way. My parents were always looking to inspire the next generation and even use them and get them involved. And it makes sense because they started out as youth pastors, amazing youth pastors. And so they were always making the church a place that was fun. It wasn't a burden or, you know, it was honestly somewhere where I wanted to go. Like I'd have a lot of fun going to youth group Sundays. So yeah, that's I think the second reason that they helped me a lot, like, or the two reasons I'd say, like they kept the family as a priority, and then they also made church really fun and found ways to get us involved. It's probably number three. My parents always said, my mom especially would always say, like, We do ministry as a family. We don't do it separate. You know, so if we're gonna go to church on a Sunday, we're all gonna go. If we're gonna, and that's why they got us involved in worship or different things. And they were never like strict about it. You know, like they'd be considerate if, I don't know, we did.
Yeah, they let you choose.
Yeah, like, you know, one of my siblings, like if we've done four services in one day and we have one more, they'll, you know, it's. They're not like, you have to be at all five services on a Sunday. But they were like, you have to find your place. You have to find somewhere
five
you serve.
Five services is a lot, bro.
Yeah.
That's so much.
In one Sunday, we have seven services across different campuses. So not all at the same time.
Oh,
place.
Okay.
But yeah. But anyway, so yeah, busy. Sundays were always really busy. But anyway, so they got us to be involved, though. They always try to find a place for us to serve, whether it was worship or kids. Or, you know, even AVL or just cameras. So So all of that to answer your question, I don't think I ever got to the point where I was doubting whether I wanted to pursue Jesus. There might have been moments where I was wondering what that was going to look like whether I was going to go into ministry or whether, since I was really interested in music, at times I was like, maybe I'll go into music production or into being like an artist or something like that. So it was along those lines, more of the doubts.
Yeah, and I guess my other question is like, what? Because obviously, like, your church is part of Amplify, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously, like, for those of you don't know, my church just became part of Amplify like 9 or so months ago, maybe a year ago. And so, was your church like always part? Was Fuente always part of Amplify, or was it like they gradually joined?
Pretty sure it was always part of MFI. We were always connected. When my parents were here in Oregon, they were already connected to MFI with the church that they would go to. My grandpa was actually really close. He was one of the disciples, I'd say, of Wendell Smith, who was part of MFI, really big part of that, and even, you know, Manor House back then. My grandpa was one of his mentors, one of his disciples. So yeah, the whole time we were always part of MFI. In fact, my grandpa now, who isn't the lead pastor of Fuente, our church, he now helps lead MFI in Mexico. So he has a lot of pastors that look to him kind of like as an apostolic leader or shepherd or father. And so he's definitely very involved.
And so I guess my other question is, and I just asked because like my church recently just like went through a like pastor's transition as well. So like with your grandfather, like, because you were saying your grandparents, like, they were the pastors originally of Fuente. So, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
No, you're good. Sounds good.
But so now that they're not, are they like just regular part of the congregation, or like, you know, are they still like on the elders? Like how is that process or that position?
Yeah, great question. They've definitely transitioned into more of an apostolic role, so they do a ton of traveling. They definitely haven't slowed down. My grandparents are still super busy. They do a lot of work in other like parts of Mexico, so they travel a lot. There's, I think, over 100 churches that kind of look to them as pastoral apostolic support. So they'll travel around Mexico, visit churches, see how the pastors are doing, make sure the church is doing well, help if there's any issues, you know, preach, etc. And then they also do a lot of things in Cuba. My grandpa's helped a lot of churches in Cuba. He's raised a lot of money, even here in the States, that goes towards building churches for Cuba or helping them out with sound systems and things like that, because Cuba doesn't have any money. Pastors don't have any money. He also does other things in like Honduras and other places in South America. So that's kind of the way they've transitioned. So yeah.
Dang, I love that. And like, yeah, because I think, you know, and when it comes to, like, just authority-wise, it's weird because, you know, and obviously I love my pastors, and then they've done an amazing job of, like, transitioning and stuff, but sometimes it's this weird thing where it's, like, you know, pastors, like, they want to retire, but then they, like, don't want to give up, like, authority or, yeah, so could you, like, just kind of, like, speak to, like, did your grandparents like be like, okay, now we're giving your family like full control, or was it just one of those things of like, oh, well, you know, we're still gonna be like a little bit in charge, but
I think the transition was amazing. They were very much intentional in when they, you know, handed the church over to my parents. It was kind of their church, and so They encouraged them even to lead and cast the vision for the church. And so it was really good. There was never that like tension of like, oh, the old pastor wants to do this, but the new pastor wants to do this. It was like a full support. You know, I think of like Moses and Joshua. Like, well, obviously Moses died before they left, so a little different. But
before the promised land.
Right. But there was that support, and there was that training up and like sending out even. I think a transition, you know, in a church should be passing the baton onto the next generation, and it should be something beautiful, not something weird or tense or burdensome. So I have that great example of that. You know, it was like that for us at least.
Yeah, and so, and I guess the other thing is that I really want to talk about, and just staying on the topic of like pastors' kids, because I feel like that's like the theme of this week.
Let's do it.
But I guess my question is like, because obviously, so for me, like, I didn't like really grow up in the church, and so it was like, you know, my family, like my grandparents were Baha'is, and so, but so I would like always go to like Sunday school every once in a while, but I was like really little, and my like. My grandparents didn't have custody of us, and so it was like my dad had sole custody of us, and my dad didn't really go to church, you know, and like both of my parents, like once they got separated and like divorced and stuff, they both kind of like went into this like sort of party lifestyle, like my dad hopped from relationship to relationship, and so they didn't really like do church. The only time that I could solely remember like going to church was, you know, with my grandparents when they would take us to like Baha'i Sunday school. So, but I guess my question is like, cause so through that though, I was like exposed to like so much at a very, very young age.
Yeah.
And obviously as like a lot of, and we were just talking about that, like just a lot of like PKs, like being sheltered and like kind of overbearing. Was it that way for you, or was it more of like your family was like, okay, you know, we're going to like allow you guys to like, we're obviously going to watch over you and like. But we're not going to, like, control you. And, like, how was that for you?
No, yeah, great question. First of all, also, you know, sorry that there was maybe moments of hardship in your childhood. It's amazing to see what God's been able to do with you. And just the testimony that that makes for you is amazing. So I honor that. And then, yeah, to answer the question, yeah, it definitely is typical or maybe even a stereotype for pastor's kids to be thought of as, like, sheltered or overprotected or just kind of, like, secluded even.
Or even, like, just rebellious.
Yeah, which may lead to rebellion, you know, et cetera.
Which is, a, like, sorry, that's, like, a very common thing as well, you know, like, and so it's, I just think we, and I think it can become, like, a stigma because I feel like we see it so much, you know, like, just pastors' kids, like, rebelling and, you know, like, my parents were, like, Baptists, and then, so, yeah, like, my parents were, like, pastors, and so, yeah, and then I, like, didn't want that, and so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, but sorry, continue.
No, you're good. Yeah. So with my experience, and again, I honestly can't throw enough flowers to my parents because it's just, I don't have anything bad to say, honestly, but the way that they handled it was amazing. So they definitely did, protect us. Like for example, or I don't know what word you'd want to use, but, for example, we went to a Christian school growing up, for missionary kids. So it was like a small school. Similar to PBC in some ways, actually, but also very different. Wasn't as charismatic. It was actually a Baptist school. But amazing in a lot of ways. Very small, familial, like kind of like a family. So growing up, we went to a Christian school. So there wasn't that tension or like you said, maybe that like connection with the maybe ideologies or things that are being pushed even in schools. Or even the experiences that you see or things that you see in terms of relationships or whatever you see, like what you see, for example, in a public school. But at the same time, so, you know, our parents did things like that and were very intentional. But at the same time, it was never, like, secluded. There was never, like, isolation. So, like, you know, my parents were very intentional. Like we'd have, I don't know, dinner with our neighbors or we'd have friends that weren't Christians in the neighborhood. And it wasn't like that was a bad thing. Even in the church, like there's in our church, it was a big church and there's a lot of people with different stories and backgrounds. So it's not like everybody was perfect there either. So I'd have friends that maybe came from other lifestyles or things like that. So there was that element of like, you know, protection, but it wasn't seclusion. And I think the what made the difference was the transitions, like, you know, when you're very young, obviously not even just Christians, but in general, parents try to do a good job of watching what the children see, what they can hear, what type of music, what type of movies, etc. But then as you're older, you kind of begin to let go of maybe those boundaries even or rules and you allow for more space. So I think my parents did that very well. And in doing so, like whenever, you know, that would happen or I guess you could say I'd see more of the world or whatever, they were always very intentional in having conversations and being there. Like not just like, oh, we protected you until you were 5 or until you were 14, whatever. And then once you, because eventually you're gonna see the world, yeah, like anybody is. And so when that, you know, happened, I guess, they were very open to walk through that with me. So, yeah.
Dang, that's amazing. But yeah, no, it's just, and the crazy thing is, like, not growing up in church, I feel like I was just exposed to so much, like, you know, like whether it be pornography or whatever, you know, alcohol, like drugs, like whole mm-hmm. nine yards. Yeah. And so, yeah. And so I guess, like, that's the other thing is it's this weird thing to where, you know, and I don't know if you've ever felt like this, but I've talked to, like, so many people who were raised in the church mm. where it's like, you know, obviously for someone like me, my testimony is, like, very radical.
Yeah.
But I guess the thing is, like, a lot of, like, Christians who grew up in the church are like, man, I don't have a testimony, you know? And, like, so I don't know if that it was ever that way for, like, you and your siblings of, like, man, I don't feel like I have a testimony if it's not, like, something crazy radical.
Yeah. No, I actually definitely felt that. I definitely felt that growing up, kind of, like, yeah, like, what can I even share with people? What's my testimony? One thing I've realized is, like, kind of like you kind of said it, but a testimony doesn't have to be, you know, a life-changing story from bad to good. I would say that the testimony of my family and the faithfulness that God's had toward us is a testimony in itself. It's a testimony of God's faithfulness and the faithfulness even of, you know, my parents, and that can be a testimony to someone. Even, like, you know, someone that doesn't come from that type of background, it can give them hope that they can, that can be them in the future. If even if maybe their parents weren't the best, or if their one of their parents left, or there was a divorce, like, hearing that there are, you know, Christian families who haven't gone that route gives them hope and I think faith that that can be them in the future. So I think that's a testimony in itself. But there was definitely a lot of moments where I felt like, I just, you know, I don't have a testimony. And then secondly, I'd also say that God is faithful and he gives everybody a testimony. Like, if you are going after the things,
amen,
of God, yeah. If you're seeking, like, you know, the verse says, knock and it'll be open to you. Seek and you will find. And so the Holy Spirit illuminates Christ. He makes the gospel real. And that's maybe one of the things, or maybe one of the downsides, I guess, of being a pastor's kid. Is you grow up around the gospel. Like, you hear it, you know, every Sunday, you hear sermons, you go to Sunday school, you know all the Bible stories. So it can almost, you know, the story of Jesus and the gospel can almost turn into something dull. Like, it's not meaningful.
Yeah.
Because, like, for example,
which happens, I feel like happens a lot.
Yeah.
Like, no, with, even within the church.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like if someone had a radical salvation and Jesus, you know, maybe they were super sinful at some point. Now, if they encounter Christ, it's like, I know what it's like. You know, I know what Jesus did for me. But sometimes growing up in the church, it can be like, for me, it's just a bunch of Sunday school answers. Like, I know Jesus and I know all the terms. But what I've found, and this would be part of my testimony, is that the Holy Spirit always reveals Jesus. And if you're seeking Christ, if you're seeking the things of God, he will find ways to make it come alive to you, which I think needs to happen.
Yeah.
And so if there's any, even pastor's kids or anybody that grew up in the church that's listening, my encouragement to you would be, don't let these things be dull. Like, even if they are, like, seek and ask. Simply ask God to show you who Jesus is in a real and meaningful way that changes your life.
And also, I think the other thing is like, and I, like, obviously I haven't, like, experienced this personally, but I know that it could be a thing for anybody listening, is that, like, sometimes I feel like people get discouraged because they're like, man, I, like, this person, like, God just radically came in and just transformed their life. And then for them who, like, grew up, as you were talking about, like, it can become, like, kind of the churchy thing to, you know, a lot of them, I feel like, could get really discouraged because they're like, man, you know, like, God's, like, radically transforming that person's life, you know, and, like, but it's not happening to me, you know? So I guess, like, what's your advice to, like, to PKs who are listening to this, who may be feeling that way,
who may be feeling like God isn't doing as much in their life,
or yeah, yeah,
like
just
a little,
like,
bit of comparison, maybe,
yeah, of okay. The yeah, or who's wrestling with comparison of like, man, like, God's, like, radically transforming this person, but, you know, like, it doesn't feel like he's doing that in my life.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind would be that not everything feels great. Like, just because it doesn't feel like God's radically changing you doesn't mean the Holy Spirit isn't in you forming Christ. In fact, I mean, for you to say that is almost kind of, in a sense, disrespectful to him, because the Holy Spirit is in you, and that's what he does. He forms Christ in us. He makes us more like him every day. And so even if it's not drastic or like night and day, like, you know, one moment I was a sinner and the next I was completely saved and radicalized, changed. Even if it's gradual, like, it's still the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's still valuable, and it's still beautiful. So that'd be the first thing that comes to mind. And then secondly, I think I would also say, you know, it's fine if it's not something crazy. Again, God's faithfulness is a testimony in itself. Or even, you know, someone's willingness to say yes to Jesus is a testimony in itself.
And I guess just a few more things as we begin to wrap up the episode. Ty's got to get to work.
We'll have to do a part two so we can go longer.
But no, so I guess a couple more questions that I want to ask you is, one, like, how did your, like, meeting of coming to PPC happen? Was it one of those things of, like, man, like, God's calling me here, like, I need to be here? Or was it, like, more of, like, God wants me to go here, but, like, I have other desires or, like, things that I want to achieve, like, in Mexico? Like, how did that come about?
Great question. For me, it was a little interesting. It wasn't, like, a lightning bolt experience. Like, I just heard from heaven, like, go to PPC. It was always an option because I had heard about PPC my whole life. I had uncles and aunts who'd come and been at PPC, so I'd heard about it my whole life. But then there was kind of like this tension between, I really loved theology, and I do, I love theology. I love learning about the Bible and about God. But then I also love music, and I'm very creative, and I love thinking through things like that. Even, I don't know, fashion, just that creative side of things. And so it was kind of like that tug between the two almost, my senior year of high school. But my parents also made the suggestion or, you know, they said, what if you dedicate 1 year to God? So before you
1 year turned into 4 years.
No, for real.
So funny. Love how that works. Classic Bible college tropes.
It always happens. No, but they were like, you know, you can do whatever you want. They never forced me to go into ministry or literally whatever. They're like, you can study music, production, etc. But why don't you just, after high school, dedicate 1 year to God and go to either our internship, because we had an internship, or a Bible college somewhere or whatever. They didn't tell me where either. But I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. I'm not going to say no. So I started thinking of where I'd do that. And PBC was just a really good option. Originally, my 4 years was always, I think, an option. It's not like I was just going to do 1 year and then go back. But originally, I was planning on doing 1 year and then maybe going back to Mexico and studying music production at a, you know, professional level. But I found that, obviously, that didn't end up happening. And so, yeah, God's just been faithful. And he's found a way I've grown in both of those areas of my life, which has been crazy. I thought I was going to have to sacrifice one. Like, it was either creative or theology, like either music or theology. But God's been faithful to help me grow in both of them. So,
yeah, and, like, the crazy thing is, like, for me, PBC was, like, I mean, obviously it was, like, always an option because I had, like, friends that, like, a friend who graduated from here, and then, like, also I had, like, friends who were going online. Mm-hmm. But for me, the other thing was, like, I had already done a discipleship program, like, at my home church, and I'd done a year of it. But at the same time, too, it was, like, one thing that I felt like drew me to PBC was I was, like, I felt like that 1 year was, like, not, like, obviously it, like, I got a lot of stuff broken off of me, and, you know, I got a lot of healing. But I feel like 1 year was, like, not enough to really, like, solidify my foundation with God. And so, yeah, so, like, ultimately, you know, and it took me a really long time to, like, get to this point to, like, where I'm at. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely, like, wouldn't regret it. But as we wrap up, one more question. And this, like, I guess this can be, like, a practical thing. For, like, PKs who might be listening to this, like, what is, like, one piece of genuine advice that you would give to someone who is a pastor's kid who maybe, like, teetering on the edge of, like, okay, I don't know if I, like, want this, you know, but, like, you know, I still love the Lord, but, like, I don't know, you know, which, yeah, they're just kind of teetering. What advice would you give to them?
Yeah, the thing that comes to mind is Matthew 6:33. I pull it up really quick. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So my one advice would probably be, it's always worth it to seek God. It's always worth it to put him first. And that doesn't have to look a certain way. It doesn't have to sound a certain way. It doesn't have to be full-time ministry. But it's always worth it to put God first. And not only is it like worth it, but there is no other way. Whenever you try to get good at life or make it without God, everything falls apart. And I've seen that in my life. But whenever you have God first, then it's almost magical, mystical. I don't know. Everything else just falls into place. And it does. It isn't perfect, and it takes time, but everything else falls into place. So that'd be my encouragement to any pastor's kid out there, or anyone, you know, doesn't have to be pastor's kid, but if you're there and you're maybe deciding things about your future, whatever you do, always make sure that God's right in the middle of it.
And I guess my last question is when did God become real to you?
Wow, that's amazing. I think there's been moments. I'd like to think of my life, or really just the life of a believer, as you're going through life and you're traveling, you're on your way to heaven in a sense. And I think there's moments where God gives you glimpses of who he is, and he gives you glimpses of heaven. Even there's these touches that you get, and it looks different for every person. You know, maybe it comes from a testimony or a radical salvation. Maybe it comes from a moment in the youth camp where you encountered the presence of God, or maybe it was just a simple moment where it was late at night, you grabbed your Bible and started highlighting, and a verse just stuck out. And so there's been moments like that throughout my whole life where God has become real to me. And maybe the one thing I would say to Pastor's Kid as well is, you can't just rely on that, I guess. Like, just because you had a one moment experience 3 years ago at a youth camp, that's not enough to sustain you the rest of your life. You have to continue to seek his face, and you have to continue to desire to know him and desire to experience him and have a relationship with him, because that's what it's all about.
And also the crazy thing is, like, me and Rashad were talking about that on the podcast the other day, because we were just like discussing the fact that, like, you know, a lot of times, like, it's not just like one particular like moment. And so, yeah. So I think it's just like, something that we just were discussing on the aspect of, like, faith. And, so that's – it's crazy just how much, like, the Lord moves and, like, works in our lives. And it's just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, hey, Alan, thank you so much. This has been an amazing time. I don't know if you have any last thoughts for your podcast listeners before we
– Yeah. So I – like, and also I just want to give, like – advice to, like, people. Obviously, like, the whole theme is like pastors' kids, but I think a lot of times, like, I would be doing a disservice to people who, like, are coming up or don't know the Lord yet, or are kind of like questioning it. Like, take a leap of faith, like really just trust that God has an amazing purpose and an amazing calling for you. Yep. Anyway, so that's the end of the episode this week. And so, yeah, I'm going to be uploading on Monday. Hopefully, my goal is to be uploading on Mondays and Wednesdays and recording on, like, during the week. So that's, like, my goal. I'm super excited to have this podcast going and just allowing this to be a platform for people to come on and just share their testimony and just share what God is doing in their life. And so, yeah, but anyways, that's it for the Alan JB podcast this week. And I will see you guys right here again real soon. Bless up.